Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
How's it going up?
Done. One.
There you go. It went up for me. It went 8, 9, 10. I was like, what is happening? Bizarre.
Good morning.
Good morning. That really threw me. Also, me and Ellie were just talking before. It's the morning. And we were talking before and I was trying to read a sentence turn. I was like... Duh, 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 duh.
I was going to ask you. Okay, bonjour. Good morning.
Bonjour.
You were like to me, why are you up at 3 a.m? Did you see my Wordle?
No, it's because you sent me a tweet. I was like, Eleanor sent you a tweet. And I was like, what the fuck? It's 3:30 a.m. That's very late for me. Or very, very early for someone else. Who knows?
I sent my Wordle at that time and someone had liked it like an hour later and it was like 4. And I was like, why are you up?
Yeah, they're probably like getting up. You just hadn't gone to sleep yet. One of my like best friends, she literally gets up at like 5 a.m. every single day. And like, it's a lion for her if she gets up at 7. Yeah. I know. She loves to get up early.
I mean, I like getting up early because you don't waste your day. I hate to think that. I hate when I sleep past like 9 or something like that. Because I just think, all my morning's gone.
Yeah.
But 5's a bit. Yeah, 5's a bit early.
I'm actually, like, I started getting up early when, like, in the new year. Like, I was like, I'm going to get up to, like half an hour earlier. It's already back to the old time.
Yeah. I like to get up. I'll only really get up at 5 if I'm sticking in, like, a gym class before I go to work.
Yeah. I think that's why she gets up early. I think she goes to the gym every day before work. Yeah. So.
But I mean, I've worked that out now. So it's like, if I'm going to one that's on the way to the office, then I tend to do a 7 o'clock class. So for me, I have to get up at 5. But if I'm just going to the gym around the corner from my house, I can definitely just get up 15 minutes before I need to go.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be anywhere, which is then obviously a lot later. That might be about 7.
One can dream that I would get up and do exercise.
You're an afternoon bird. Are you like an afternoon birdie with exercise?
Only with exercise. Like, I am actually a morning person in general, but with exercise, I never want to do it when I wake up. I know it's like, no, no, nobody does, but like, I prefer to do it like at the end of the day to like sever my day from like work to chill.
Yeah. Different strokes for different folks, I think.
Yeah. But the problem with that is like, obviously, I often have plans, so then I just don't work out.
See, it was, I'm the person that gets really annoyed when plans go in and I want to work out. It's like, oh, I have to go to
class. You said that the other day. You're like, I can't come to drinks, I've got to work out. And I was like, Ellie.
Well, I did go in the end because my meeting finished, like the meeting we had finished, it was cutting it fine for me to be able to get back. And I just didn't want to, like, I don't want to go into a class stressed.
The real story is that she realised that she only had 5 more days left with me at the job, so she needed to come out for drinks.
Oh yeah, that's happening. We're no longer going to be Wordle 237 is trending, sorry. I've done it already, so yeah.
This is an insight into Ellie. She, like, we'll have conversations, she'll just change. She'll just
be and I'll just else, drop.
And, like, and I'm like, Ellie, I'm talking to you.
It's just because I've got, Twitter just came up and 237X is trending, but I'm quite proud I got it. It's the first one since the New York Times took over.
Have they taken over already?
Yeah, since the New York Times first word, and everyone's going shit. To be fair, it's a bit tricksy. But anyway, yes, me and Kath are no longer going to be wedded at work.
Wedded. I'm breaking up the band.
I kind of jumped from it because I don't want to talk about it because it hasn't happened yet. But we're going to.
I notice that you keep doing
this.
That.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
But I'll still talk to you, obviously. I know. We have a podcast together.
This means the podcast is no more, guys. Thanks for being here. It's been a great year. Bye.
We had a meeting yesterday with our manager and I was like, it's okay, like, me and Ellie talk all the time anyway, so if you need to ask me anything, It's like, I don't really feel like anything's changing between me and Ellie.
No.
She just laughed. But yeah, she said, our manager was like, oh yeah, Kat's making up the band. And then she was like, oh, who is she, Jessie Nelson or Harry Styles? And I was like, I'm absolutely not Jessie Nelson, thank you very much.
She does not know what she says.
She truly doesn't.
She's like, is she Jessie Nelson or Harry Styles or maybe Zayn Malik, or if we're going back, Robbie Williams? It's like,
Robbie Williams, I'll take. He's a bit of a legend. I'm sure he's done something problematic, they all have, but...
Everyone does, and that's just because we are human and we are liable to faults. That is all that it is. It's whether we can learn and grow from
flowers.
Our problem being problematic. It's whether we're willing to change and understand and whatnot.
Flowers. You know, Ellie, it's daffodil season.
Have you got daffodils?
Of course I've got daffodils. I always have daffodils in daffodil season. Every time. Every time they die, I go and get some more.
Where are they? Where have you put them?
They're downstairs.
They're on the table. Do you not have any in your room?
No, and you know when I moved, well, you probably don't, it's a very specific thing, but my dad, I had like a carafe thing that I put them in, and my dad broke it. It was a complete accident. Bless him, he helped me out. But it smashed everywhere. And it was like the perfect daffodil vase. It's not a vase, it's a carafe. But I went the other day and bought a new one because I was like, I need this for daffodil season.
Do you still have the one that Tom made you, the book vase?
Yeah, but it's not water, like the clay, like the glaze, like obviously had a crack in it. So it doesn't hold the water. What I'm going to do when I move is put a plant in it. Use it as a plant pot.
Oh, that's smart. Then you can still put fresh things in it. It's just, but they get water from the underneath. What have you been doing with it so far? Just putting dry flowers in there?
Yeah, it's not, it's actually just on the floor. Like, it's not got anything in it. But I did put dry, it's quite short, and I feel like dried flowers are always really long.
It doesn't quite work.
Yeah, so I'm going to put a plant in it. But yeah. But anyway, we've just rambled on for ages about nothing. So today we're going to talk about open water. I did the thing again where I was like treating it like a surprise when it's in the episode title.
You know what we didn't do though? We didn't talk about what we'd seen this week.
Okay, go on then.
Before we get to it, because... obviously, I feel like everyone's seen the Tinder Swindler. It's just like, you know, Kath, my enemies are against me. Could you give me 2,000 grand? Like 27,000 grand? I don't know.
I watched it with Tom.
To get rid of my enemies, please.
Yeah, I watched it with Tom and Tom was like, oh, by the way, I'm about to ask you for 20 grand.
I have enemies.
I'm like, well, Dad, I was 20 grand to give you, pal, so.
I saw a tweet from, like, I think it was Sky News, and it was something like Carrie Johnson said that this is, like, a personal attack on her by Johnson's enemies. And I was just like, careful, love, you're starting to sound like Simon Levive. Like, enemy. Who talks like him? I have enemies. Give me 100,000, please. The tweets have been sensational.
Yeah, it's one of those moments, isn't it, where like if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it so you can understand all the memes and stuff. It is wild though. Like when I started watching it, I was like, okay, cool, like I know where this is going. And then it just like gets like really wild and it gets worse and worse and you're like, what?
Me and my housemate, we've been kicking ourselves for watching it so early because we literally watched it on the day it dropped. That was like, I think it's because that day I had seen an article about something that was coming onto Netflix called The Tinder Swindler. And it was just like, what do you want to watch? Let's watch this. And like, it's just, I remember texting you going, Kath, hypothetical question.
Yeah.
If a man asks you to go to Bulgaria with him on the first date, would you?
Absolutely.
Maybe with his family in tow, his baby mama and a child, would you?
Which, plot twist. No. Actually, I'm not going to ruin it because...
No, it'd be fine because by then, I just realised in retrospect, like, people are going to listen to this.
Everyone will have seen it by then, won't they? Yeah.
Everyone would have seen it. It's the same with Squid Game. Everyone would have seen it
by then. Okay, this is a spoiler, so guys, skip over the next minute if you actually don't want it. But that when the woman that was the baby's mama is actually someone... Well, she was a previous victim or something.
Yeah.
That never really got explained. I was like, what?
He's got such a way, I guess it's like with all charming sort of psychopaths and serial killers and whatever you want to call them. This is obviously I've just reached here, really reached. But he's got one of those personalities that's just like super charming, right, I guess.
Well, he must
Yeah, so to be able to, like the workaround that he had on these women... And you've got to think there's loads of them across the globe because they were saying that he's conned tens of millions out of women in the same scam. And there's nothing really to put on him because these women did this willingly, unfortunately. So it's like hard to make anything stick against him. I don't know how it works, but...
Yeah, because I was thinking that because he didn't actually get charged for anything other than like a fake passport, I think. And yeah. I was like, but he... like scammed loads of people, but then I guess it's like
they took
maybe there's a loophole in the law, like because they did take the loans out themselves, I guess, but they were coerced into it. They were like
I wonder if you could get him on it being that he coerced them, because it's just you wouldn't, like, given that that's how he took them on a date. Obviously he was very open with these women about his lifestyle. He gave them nothing to question. And so therefore, when anything did happen, it was like, okay, also, well, yeah, I believe you.
For multiple women to have taken out loans for him, he must have been so manipulative and so, like, that's like, yeah. I guess so he built their trust, right? But even so, like, I guess it's the whole... Do you know what it is? It's the danger thing. That's how he got them, because he was like... He made it out like they were all in loads of danger if they didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It wasn't just like, oh, I need to buy...
They know where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah. He took their passport details. So you would be scared. You would either be scared into doing it because, of the danger element, or you really are in love with this man and you believe... Like, he gave them nothing to not believe him.
Yeah.
Until it became obvious, you know, like, to them. That
I was like, I wonder if he has a PA. I was like, I wonder if he has a PA that sends some of the messages for him. Because that was a full-time job.
I guess it's just like those three men, right? So maybe one of them sends it while they're... It's just disgusting that he would con these women out of all this money. Each woman would pay for each other woman, other lady.
That, do you know what? That's the bit that really... Well, not that's a bit, it all really got me. But that bit, I was like, the little swine. Swine.
So nasty. I hope they... He got put away for 5 months. He didn't even serve all of whatever it was that he had. And I really, really hope that they can get him, or at least, like, this has literally put a massive target on his back in terms of, like, hopefully no woman would go near him now.
And he's being...
Or that he would not be able, or not be able to, like, con anyone else further. But
honestly, like, he came up on my TikTok, and I was like, is this his account? It was so weird.
Can we just massive shout out to, like, the three women, actually, like, really brave of them to come forward, because obviously there's going to be a lot of people out there that are like, how could you do this? I mean, because I text you going, would you do that? Like, only more of a, this is wild, like, I couldn't see.
But that was only, you're only saying that about the first date, not the rest of it. Yeah. And actually, like, I think that, I do think you can say that was a little bit silly of her to go on a plane on her first date with someone she doesn't know. But that's, like, more of, like, a safety thing rather than, like...
Didn't the woman in the middle give him her passport details and she met him in Amsterdam?
Yeah, but that, I was thinking about... It depends how long they've been talking for, I guess. Like...
Yeah, because you don't really get a concept.
Yeah, like, if they've been talking for ages, he's already built that trust. And I know that you don't know someone that you've met online, but, like, it does kind of... Like, it does happen.
I don't know. I feel like... I don't... I need to remember what happened there. She was with, I didn't like the way she was talking about the... I don't like clubs like that anyway. Last time I went to a club like that, it was just... Yeah. But horrible. I don't like those sorts of places. But you know when she was talking about the girls... What did she call them? Like flies, like fruit flies. Like the ones that hover around the champagne is what she was saying.
Yeah, she's being a bit judgy.
I was just like... Girl, like, we're going to hear your story about how you got conned out of this, like, by this man. Please don't. Please don't. Please
yeah.
don't.
But, like, having said that, even if you make, like, even with that girl going on the plane, like, at that point, there was no immediate danger for her.
No, because I think they said that they realised they were friends. But then she got the long game because she then went on holiday with him the whole summer.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being, like, going on holiday with this guy, imagining that this was, like, his life, etc., it was a fun summer, and then coming back and then being hit up a few months later going, I'm a homeless king. What did he say? He's a homeless something. Having to give him money. Because you would believe him, because you just spent the whole summer living the life of luxury.
It's just all crazy. Like, I think what's absolutely crazy is that the women are still paying off their debts and he's just free and living a lavish lifestyle again. Hopefully, this is what I'm hoping, though. I'm hoping that the Netflix documentary will mean that they'll get A, money from the documentary, and B, potentially people giving them money to be like, here's some help, yeah.
Maybe they'll, maybe they can, yeah, but that's just those three women.
No, I know, I realise that,
yeah. And then you think, oh God, doesn't even take into account, like, the others. Like, they were brave enough to come forward and tell their story.
Because I was thinking that as well, like, that is so, like, that would be so scary. Because you don't, like, he's clearly a dangerous man.
Yeah. Shout out to Eileen, though. She was fantastic. She was just like, yes. She was just like, nah, fuck this shit. Not me. Not
she was
today.
Lucky, though, because the other two girls had, like, reached out to her.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And you know what? Props to her for listening.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to hear, like, it's one thing to be told something, but to actually listen. Because she could have easily gone the other way and said, no, who are you? He's my man. Like, she could have completely gone the other way and not listened to them, but she did. To recognise that and then go, oh. Because that other woman, when she got a warning from the Norwegian paper, I texted him. And I was like...
Oh, my God, that infuriated me. Like, but obviously, why? That's how deep she was into it. Like, she...
Yeah.
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 Who's her best mate? Like, I don't know. If someone texts me about you, I'd be like, Ellie.
I was like, oh, girl. No.
Yeah, that didn't, like, I was like, no, what are you doing?
She was, like, halfway there. I think she, at that point, she knew something was wrong. I think it's just that want to believe your best friend, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it really fantastic. I'm sure by the time this goes out, because this won't go out for another 2 weeks, everyone would have seen it anyway. So it'll be old news, because Love is Blind is out today.
Oh, God. So that'll be in the next episode, probably. I'm gonna have to watch it, aren't I?
Yeah. Yes. Did you not watch Love Is Blind the first one?
No.
Your face.
Emmy's gonna disown me. We know this about me, Ellie. I never watch anything.
Love Is Blind was so good.
I will watch it. I'll watch it because actually, I'm gonna be doing a lot of chilling in the next week. So
watch the you have to watch the first one, then you have to watch After the Altar because that's wild. Because you watched Love. You watched. Not Love Island.
Too hot to handle.
Yeah.
I watched one series of it. I watched the second series. But I started watching the third series and I was like, this is rubbish.
Yeah, it's not as good. The first one has a girl called Francesca in it. Francesca Farrago. And she pops up in Love is Blind. But like,
oh yeah, you
the
said
there's
a
altar.
Crossover, yeah. But let's save that for when
wrong Netflix show.
Let's save that for when we... I've watched talk it, about the next episode. Yeah.
Yes, okay. You must watch. It is a must watch.
Task. I'm going to set you a task for an episode.
You... Okay. To read a book?
Yeah. I was up late finishing this book, but it was I mean, the thing is with this book, Open Water, that we're going to talk about, is, like, you don't want to read it. Like, I said, text Ellie and I was like, I feel like I can only read a few pages at a time because it's so rich. And, like, you want to read every sentence, like, and it's like you almost want to pause and soak in what you've just read and then go back to it. Like, you, like, it's really, I've not really had that for a book, with a book for a while. Like, I think other books that I've read recently have been a bit more like page turnery, and this is more like, obviously you still want to read what happens, but you just, like, you really want to, like, soak in the language and, like, yeah, it's almost like poetry. I think it's basically poetry, this
it's
book.
Very poetic, yeah, for sure. It's like, so I had the opposite experience, and unfortunately for me, there's two books I want to reread this year. One is Malibu Rising, because I don't feel like I appreciated it at the time. I was in a bit of a slump, but also since having read Evelyn Hugo, I'm like, I need to go back and revisit it. And the second one is Open Water, because unfortunately for me, I read that when I was trying to get in my Goodreads goal for the year. So because it's so short, I was like, right, let's do it. So I had to sort of maintain a pace to get it done.
Yeah,
but I would have loved to have taken the time to, because I can totally appreciate how beautiful this is, having sort of read this in a crunch, but I didn't get to really savour it. I was like, this is like one of those real nice drinks, like one of these pure liquors that's been like carefully crafted, that you pour like onto ice and you just like, and just like savour. It's one of those ones.
A good single malt whiskey.
Yeah. Not even on the rocks, just like neat. And then you just sip it a little bit at a time.
Depends how you like whiskey. Taking... like it on the rocks.
Well, well, yeah, it's true. It depends how you... Exactly. There's no single way to enjoy a whiskey except for...
I literally had ice in my whiskey and my brother almost disowned me. He was like, what are you doing? I was like, sometimes I like it on the rocks, and he was like, no, you cannot be part of this family.
when I went to LA, we went to the what's it called, there's a restaurant there that we went to, Catch LA, and I had the best what do you call it, the short one with whiskey that's with like
old fashioned bitters.
Old fashioned, yeah.
I love old fashioned. That
is the best old fashioned I think I've ever had in my whole entire life. And when I tell you that we nursed that drink to its death, we'd like nursed that drink because it was so good that you just didn't want it to end and you wanted to savour every taste, you wanted to hit every note. And that's exactly what Open Water is. It's rich.
I had a really nice whiskey cocktail in Brixton. In a place called The Whiskey Tumbler. So we should go there and have that.
Oh,
and read yes, this please. Book while we're there.
Yes. I said this book because, you know, a lot of the blurb is like, it's, you know, a love song to black art and black culture. And it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And he references lots of different, like, films and music. And I was just like, I think someone did actually make a playlist on Spotify.
I said that to you. Yeah, surely someone has.
So it's like, I wanted to put that on. I wanted to set a mood, some candles. Like, I wanted to build like a whole sensory thing going on. Like, the whole, everything just to sit and like sort of devour this book page by page. That'd be cool. I'm going to do that.
Do you know what we should do? Do you know what we should do though? We should get the playlist up and have like, you can come over and we can have like whiskey cocktails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. And like play the playlist and stuff.
Play the playlist. Just have like a whole, like, I just want to get into his head. Like,
it was. I really want to meet him. He sounds like a really nice guy.
It's a shame that we didn't, because we.
I know.
We were speaking to the women at Book Bar about this book, wasn't we?
Yeah.
When we went. And they had an event with him there.
Book Bar is in
North London. Yeah,
near Finsbury Park direction.
We could say the road. You got Blackstock Road.
Yeah,
that's what the road's called. Yeah,
It's really lovely there. Like, it's a really nice atmosphere. Like, it's basically a book bar. It's like
it says what it does on the tin.
Yeah, it's a bookshop with a bar. Which honestly is like, it's just, do you know what? I feel like there should be more places like that, because obviously, you know, like big Waterstones have like coffee shops and stuff, fine. Yeah. But like being there in the evening, and also let me tell you, when we've had a few glasses of wine, losing my voice, we've had a few glasses of wine and then just bought more books because we're just like a little bit tipsy and we're like, woo, more books.
And that's smart. She did well. Yeah, we did. I bought you Open Water. I knew that you wanted to read it, but I'd also gone in there on a Sunday afternoon. What I've got to say is that they're fantastic in just listening to what it, like, they help you, like, they pair you with books, right?
Yeah.
And they're just so fantastic at listening to what it is that you want and then giving you recommendations. And it's not even just like a, oh, we would recommend this, and like a sort of, like a one-line recommendation for why. It's like they've read the book, they know it inherently, it would speak to this person, because like they can really talk to you for a very long time about each and every one of those books in that shop, like they know it inside out. And so when I said to them about Kath, because I got this for Christmas for her, like Kath is a massive romantic, she loves love in all of its guise and all of its form, and that's like beyond like a romance like novel, she loves love, like she's a big Sally Rooney fan, and I just want to buy her books that talks about love in its many facets. So Open Water was one of them.
She bought me Love and Colour last year, by the way, guys.
Yeah, I did. Oh god, yeah, I did.
Zafine.
And the other one was Elif Shayak?
No, the Island of Lot.
Yeah, that's the, what's the author's name? Ela?
Something. Oh, hold on. I can't quite see it.
Kath is leaning back, trying to look at me.
Oh, yeah. Like,
she's just like,
the
Island of...
I can't see. It's not, but yeah. The Island of...
Okay. Yeah, Shafak?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, The Island of the Missing Trees by Ela Shafak.
Since you bought it, I've seen it everywhere. But yeah, I'm excited to read that too.
And yeah, I walked out of the shop and I was just like, this was just the most fantastic book buying experience I've had in a really long time.
Do you know what? So, that's so great, because that's how you keep customers. So a bookshop near to where my parents live is Wallingford Bookshop, and which is in Oxfordshire, and she is like actually amazing, Ali, the woman that runs it. And like every time I go home, I make sure to make an effort to like go into town and like speak to her and buy a book, because she's just great. And like for Christmas, I was like, right, I need something for my dad, he likes this and this.
yeah, I mean, we say that all to say that we'd gone there and they had a evening with Caleb, Azuma Nelson for Open Water, and we wanted to get tickets and we couldn't get them.
We missed out.
We had a nice chat. We just missed out. And we were on the waiting list too. But no one dropped out.
There was a reason.
Was sitting on it because I needed to gift it to you for Christmas and I didn't want you to buy the ticket.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, that's on me, because I could have investigated that. Got the tickets.
You get a credit. If you've already bought the book, you get a credit.
Yeah. So that's on me, because I could have just investigated an alternative to that. But yeah.
Yeah, I just really want to meet him, because basically, also, the woman that runs the book bar, I can't remember her name. Do you remember her name? We only met her once.
29 minutes in and we've already forgotten her name. That's pretty good for our...
Yeah, we've done really well, actually.
We've done really well.
But she... I feel really bad that I can't remember her name. But anyway, she was telling us about him, and she was like, oh, he's so lovely. He came in to sign, because I've got a signed copy, which is cool. I like that I've got a signed copy, because I feel like it's one of those like really lovely books. I don't really care that much about signed copies normally, but actually for this book, I think that's pretty cool. But he, apparently when he came in to sign books, he was just like really lovely and like stayed for ages and like chatted to her for ages. Now I just want to be his friend. And I'm the same age as him. We're both 26, so surely he should just be my friend.
hi, come be my friend. There's two now. It's him.
Who else and, is going
to
be my friend?
Frida.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're both really young and they're both really good at writing. And basically, I need them to teach me.
I've just gone on the Book Bar
website. If he ever did a write... Huh?
I was going to say, I've just been on the Book Bar website. Her name is Chrissy.
Chrissy, that's it. I was like, is it Kirsty? I was going to go for Kirsty, which was close. I'm glad somewhere it didn't, because her name's not Kirsty.
Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, if he ever did like a writing course, I definitely, definitely go. So, Caleb, if you do a writing course, can I be first on the list, please?
Oh, he's a fantastic writer.
Literally, I've done the Jack Edwards thing where I folded the bottom for pages.
For quotes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Shall I read some of my favourite quotes?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, guys, there's not a lot that happens in this, in plot-wise, right? It's very much a very, that is a character.
Yeah, that is one thing I would say. I was a little bit like, what the hell is going on at some points? Like, they meet and then suddenly they're best friends, and I was a little bit confused. I feel like I missed that a little bit. Like, how? but that's my only, like, slight criticism. But I don't think it's necessarily a criticism, because I think the book's not really meant to have, like, that much of a plot.
Yeah. It's completely character focus driven. It's like, I think this is this understanding that you can meet someone and be so, like to have that such a deep connection, or like straight away, like,
yeah.
So it's not a character, it's not a plot, there's no plot really, other than the relationship between these two people over the course of maybe I'd say a year, how their friendship turned into like a romance and the intimacy that they shared, and obviously like maybe a shared God, I've lost my, I've forgotten the word, doesn't matter. But
give me a clue.
I guess like it's, yeah, like we said, because it's an ode to Black culture, and I guess like a shared trauma in some respects, and then I guess more of an exploration like for what it means to be Black, all of its beauty and everything else that comes with it, and then I guess furthermore from that, like what it means to be a Black man in this country, and all of its beauty, and then the sort of the stuff that comes with it as well, just existing. And I think their meeting and then becoming fast friends is just maybe speaks to that sort of tense, deep intimacy that you could have with someone on the first meeting. I don't think everyone has that. Like, no. When they meet their other half, or they meet someone. No. But sometimes people just have a really quick connection with people that cannot be, that's just inexplicable.
Yeah.
And everyone else.
Yeah. And it's the, like, it's the kind of, like, this is my person kind of thing. Like, I want them and, like, nothing else.
Yeah, and then everyone could see it, because when we open, I've forgotten her name. Do they have names?
Oh, I'm not sure they do, you know.
No, I don't think they do. They both grow up in like South East London, I think. Isn't it like Dulwich or something that they live, or they're like operating around South London somewhere?
Yeah, South East, isn't it?
Yeah, and do they have names? I don't know.
But
she has a boyfriend at the beginning. He's at a party, and his friend, who is dating her at the time, introduced them. And he somehow gets her number. They somehow come into contact. She seeks him.
And it was something to do with the photography, like,
yes. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, like they needed. They were meeting because
they meet at that party, and then she asks for him specifically because of something.
Yeah, photography.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I wonder if the fact that they don't have names is, like, quite deliberate.
Yes, because then it could be.
Unless they do have names and they're just being idiots. I don't think they do. There's no name on the blurb either.
Two young people meet at a pub in South East London. Both are black British. Both won scholarships to private schools where they struggle to belong. Both are now artists. He is a photographer. She is a dancer. Trying to make their mark in a city that by turn celebrates and rejects them. Tentatively, tenderly, they fall in love. But two people who seem destined to be together can still be torn apart by fear and violence.
Yeah.
And scene. Chicken.
Did you cry? Because I cried.
I read it at. So no.
But I only cried right at the end. I felt like I needed like an emotional release after reading it. I was like, ah! I was like, I just want the best for them.
To be honest, I don't really cry at things that people should cry at.
Oh,
I'm an emotionless vessel. I mean, I didn't. Big thing. I did not cry reading A Little Life. Where a lot of people did.
But I don't think you have to cry in order to be emotional. Like, I'm a crier, yes. So I cry all the time. Like, literally, I literally cry all the time. But I'm just a crier. Like, that's how I express my emotions. So I don't, don't beat yourself up if you don't cry.
I'm not a crier. I mean, like, I'll cry. The thing is, I'll cry at stupid things, like really stupid things that I'll cry at, but things that you, I think, other things, I'm just an emotionless vessel, guys. Doesn't mean I'm a psychopath or anything.
You just don't cry. I cry too often, and also I'm also hormonal, so doesn't really help. I cried 3 times yesterday for no reason. Don't you just love being a woman?
What were some of the quotes that you had pulled out reading this?
let me get ready. I'll try this again because I tried to read this fairly early and it didn't go very well. So, you while away the evening together doing nothing really, which is something, is an intimacy in itself. To not fill your time with someone is to trust, and to trust is to love. And I just really liked that whole notion of, you know, when you're like with someone mm-hmm. and you just like, you're just with them and you're not actually really doing anything, but it feels like you're doing something because you're with them. And like just being able to just chill and do like separate things, but like chill. Yeah, I really liked that. I liked the way he described that. And yet you knew what you were getting into. You knew that to love is to both swim and to drown. You know to love is to be a whole, a partial, a joint, a fracture, a heart, a bone. It is to bleed and heal. It is to be in the world honest. It is to place someone next to your beating heart in the absolute darkness of your inner and trust that they will hold you close. To love is to trust. To trust is to faith. How else are you meant to love? And then, there's another quote on this page. It is like you both dived into the open water, but you have resurfaced with her elsewhere. It's like you formed a joint only to fracture, only to break. Okay. But, I mean, you could probably read any sentence of this book and it'd be a quote. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's just so beautiful. I think it's quite interesting, just how quickly and fast that they fall into friendship and love and the intimacy that they share. Because they'd often like hang out with each other and then get into bed with each other, but not in a, oh, you're going to rip your clothes off, let's have sex kind of thing. Yeah, it was just cuddled. Like a cuddled, just that intimacy. It was so strong. And I think I'd read this and then I had a break over Christmas. And in January, I picked up The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And it made, when I read that, there's this bit about her and her friendship with Celia St. James, where that goes from friendship to love for them. And they also have this, like, they get into bed and they just sort of absorb each other. Like, nothing happens. They just sort of, like, take in one another, and they very much do that in the beginning. They very much do that in the beginning of their love story, and as they go on until they eventually part ways because things are different, things have changed. And a lot of that is the stuff that happens to our male character. He's like, well, life. The same thing that celebrates Black cultures and then the things that reject, you know, that kind of being, and so it's, I guess, like, there's an incident where he gets, like, stopped and searched. There's, like, a few things. It's, like, the, you know, when we talk about death by a thousand paper cuts, we talk about that a lot. So, well, not on this podcast. I don't think we have spoken about a death by a thousand paper cuts. But it's the idea that small things that keep going, that is, like, a lived experience. Like, you're Black and you're walking down the road and someone crosses the other side to the street because they're scared of you because you're Black and they don't know what's going to happen. It's the being stopped because someone thinks that you've taken something when you've walked out the store. It's the, it's those things, right? It's little and it happens and it's frequent, right? And I think we see it's him getting stopped on the street for something he didn't do, oh, but the person looked like you, kind of thing.
It kind of builds as well. It starts with that, doesn't it? And it gets like more and more
and
like there's a bit of a crescendo to like the event that like that basically triggers the break between the two of them, because he basically sees his friend die, right? And he just can't, his mental health is just like in the bin and he's just like, I just can't process. And you at that point, you just like, that's the bit that really like really got me in this, because he just can't open up to her. Like he just closes himself off because that's the only way he knows how to deal with it,
which is so unlike where they were at the beginning of this. As in, they could talk, they were intimate, they had such an open channel of communication. And she says, you don't talk to me anymore, you don't tell me how you're feeling. Like, she can see he's struggling. She doesn't know how to help him. But it's and you know, there's shared experience in being Black. I can definitely talk to some of the stuff that comes here, like being stopped in the shop and like being accused of taking something I didn't do. But there's also things that only a Black man can talk to, I guess, as an experience for them, as it is for me being a Black woman, is for you being like a white woman, and like different experiences, right? And I think he just finds it hard to communicate what it is that is happening, even though she can see it.
And like it's amazing that he's not amazing, but like it's just an amazing piece of literature, and it's like so, it's just so raw, I think. I think that's a good way to describe it.
Yes. Yes, it really is. It's like someone cut open your vein and just let it split.
I think it's a really, really excellent book. Like, I really think it's really great. I think, my only thing is the plot. But other than that, like, also, you know when we were talking about Sally Rooney's latest novel, when we were talking about that passage where she's, like, talking about literature?
Yeah.
That sort of came to my mind, because I was like, this book is like, it's so, it's such like a, it's so, I don't know how to, I don't know what my words. Like, this is like really, like it's a really important piece of work, I think. And like, I think it's quite like, I've read quite a lot of books written by Black women, but Black women. And like, this is like, mostly about him as a Black man. Do you know what I mean? So like that was like, I'm really glad that I read that to like, just,
you've got a, like, you've got a counter, not a counter, but you've got a better balance, right? I guess.
Just because like, just the nature of like the books that I've read, like I read more books written by women in general, and I don't even do it on purpose. It just, my dad said that to me once. He was like, you never read books by men. I was like, that's not true. I did read some male authors last year. I don't even do it on purpose. I think it's just the books that I'm drawn to.
But then we were saying, when we were looking back at our back catalogue, we don't actually have that many male authors that we have done.
No, and actually, interestingly, the fact that it's romance as well. I went to a webinar once about men writing romance.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Gale was there, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, I think you did say that.
Yeah.
Was it?
Mike Gale was there, David Nichols, who I'm a big fan of David Nichols anyway, and, like, he's great. Again, would go to a writing course if he did one. And another guy called James Bailey, I think, and I've not actually read any of his novels yet, but... That was really interesting about men writing romance, because I feel like people perceive it slightly differently. And almost, do you know what? It is seen quite differently, I think, romance books written by males than by females. Why am I talking like this? By men and women, I feel like, yeah, it's perceived quite differently sometimes, which, yeah. I don't know. It was interesting. Because they were just talking about how they're perceived in, like, bookshops and stuff compared to, like, romance novels by women, which is interesting. Did write some notes, but it was a long time ago now, so.
I just love that everyone could see their love as well, like, when they're in there, when she's in the barber's, and the barber's like, what's going on with you two? I don't think they're together at that point. It's just like he could just see it. Like, she was just...
Yeah,
like,
that's in the prologue as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. But what's this? What's this I see? And,
I know what's happening here.
And her ex as well is like, so really, how long? How long was it after we broke up that you got together? Because he knew.
She says that to him when he's sort of speaking to her and she gets angry at him. She's like... I lost a lot of people in my circle because of you, because they thought that I'd done something wrong.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, I made
it. It's really hard because you feel sorry for her, because, like, imagine if you were with someone and they just stopped speaking to you. Like, that would be awful, but obviously you see it from his perspective and you're like, you understand that he just physically, like, can't. And it's so hard because you feel so sorry for both of them, and it's just like, it's like, two people who seem destined to be together but can still be torn apart by fear and violence. I mean, that's it, isn't it? Like, they're being torn apart. And it's really sad.
Yeah. External,
do you reckon they'll get back together?
Oh, I don't know. To be honest, I think a lot of it will come down to whether he can process. Possibly.
I'm going to say that they get back together later in life. Yes,
they get back together.
And I'm never going to ask Caleb whether they do or not, because I don't want to know. I want to know. In my head, I want them to get back together. Also, on the perspective thing, I find the way it's written really interesting, where it's like, the next morning, you gaze in the mirror, like, he's talking to himself. And that took me ages to work out. Like, it's not like in the third person, the first, he's like, you didn't know whether to hug her mother when you were leaving, but you, do you know what I mean? It's like,
waiting
for the bus in the dark because you put on the hoodie, it smells like her. Like, he's talking to himself, which is really cool. It's a really different way of writing.
Yeah. I liked the structure of it, and there's sort of like the repetitiveness of the, the fracture, the break metaphor that happens. So it's like
woven throughout, isn't it?
Yeah. I really liked that.
It's really good.
Very, very good. I look forward to rereading this, actually.
I would definitely reread it, if not, like,
you could reread
of it.
Yeah, you definitely could. I don't reread novels often, but this is one I would.
And what I'm going to start doing is, like, the romance novels that I find really, like, powerful, I'm going to try and, like, study passages of them a little bit just to, like, help me.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, because I read that that's, like, really a really good thing to do, which makes sense. Like, the books that you really like, look really close to how they're written. So, yeah.
So you can write your first novel. It's coming.
It's never going to happen, is it?
Yeah, it is.
I did write something the other day, actually.
Good.
I wrote something.
Yeah. You know what? I've got to write that award entry. And mm-hmm. then I've got several other award entries to write. I'm jumping to work, guys. And then after that, that's all my writing for the year, guys.
No, it's not, because you still haven't written your blog. Oh, right, I'm going to deadline you. Your deadline has passed, pal, multiple times.
But you're going to get serious now. I'm putting my foot down.
I am. Once you've hit your deadlines at work, yeah. I'm not going to put pressure on you until you've done that. But once you've done that, it can't always be me writing the blogs.
No, I know.
It's a joint voice. Actually, to be fair, Ellie does put her input into the blogs. It's not me. I just write them. Ellie tells me what content she wants in them.
I'm like, can we just include this, team effort. And this and this?
But, so basically, we want to be his friend. We want to go on a writing course by him. And we think it's an excellent book.
Yes, go pick it up. Go savour this book.
Yeah. I wanted it to be longer. Nice. I can't believe it. I never want books to be longer. But I wanted this to be longer. Where's my additional chapter? I want an epilogue.
I'm quite happy for how short it was. Bite-sized. Yeah. To bite my book. Yeah. It's so pretty as well. We've got the hardcover. It's just so pretty.
Oh, it's like really
soft. This is like an inoffensive hardcover.
And it's really soft. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Buy the hardback, guys, actually, for the first time ever. It's really soft. It's got like, I don't know what's on the cover. It's really soft.
I mean, yeah, it's out in paperback now, but we say get the hardback. Because it's just so, it's not actually really like the hardback.
Ooh.
What does it look like without the sleeve?
It looks nice.
Oh, it's nice, yeah. Penguin Viking. That's quite nice.
Very good. Very, what? Very good. Also, the people that have reviewed it on the back, big fans of most of them. So...
Candice Carty Williams, yeah, Jesse, Benjamin Zephaniah, Diana Evans, Nikesh Shukla.
Have you read Ordinary People by Diana Evans?
No, is that good?
Yeah.
Bolu.
Have I lent it to
you? Babalola.
No. No. I can lend it to you. I have it. It's actually really nice. I like it.
Yes, please.
Don't know why I described it as nice, but it's a good book. It's a bit Normal People-esque.
I can do that.
Not Normal People. I didn't mean to say Normal People. But it's just Sally Rooney. Not Normal People.
It's Sally Rooney-esque.
I kind of hate that everything that's like character-driven is like, oh, it's a bit like Sally Rooney.
It's like Sally Rooney, yeah. Sally Rooney is
you
Sally
could say,
Rooney.
Oh, it's a bit like... you could just be like, oh, it's actually a bit like Diana Evans. Do you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. It's a bit like Caleb. Azuma Nelson, you know. I really liked this. Like, because the critique for me has been, you like plot-based things more, so why don't you appreciate character stuff? And it's like, I do like character stuff. I just didn't like,
I don't think you don't like character stuff. I think you just didn't like Normal People. That's absolutely fine. Not everybody likes Normal People. Also, can I just say, I did read it before it got popular, so. I didn't read this before it got popular. I'm late to the party for this one. It's won loads of stuff, which it should. He's won loads of stuff. His bio is really interesting. Mm. He's like won photography competitions as well.
He is an artiste.
You can tell though.
Right. Doesn't he have like poems and stuff? Like other short bits?
I want to read absolutely every single word he's ever written. I'm not going to lie to you. So, I think he'll probably write something else. He'll have a big deal now because this has done so well. His short story, Prey, was shortlisted for the BBC National Short Story Award 2020.
That's what it was. He had a short story.
Look at him.
Handsome fella.
It's a good picture, isn't it?
Handsome
fella. Very artistic. Right. On that note.
Well, guys, we said we'd be open water or something else, and we're giving you open water. Ta-da!
Because I read the book. Ellie hasn't read her book that she has meant to read.
Right. I have to go, like, okay, now. So I'll speak to you later. Thank you, guys, and good night.
Bye.
And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.